Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran at the 2019 London Swine Conference. My guest is Dr. Chantelle Farmer, a research scientist in sow lactation with Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada in Sherbrooke. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Farmer.
It's my pleasure.
As part of the 2019 London Swine Conference, you discussed the topic maximizing performance of the sow. First of all, in terms of optimal sow performance, what are the main priorities and why?
The first thing you need to know is that the sow is not producing enough milk for the piglets to have optimal growth. So if you give milk from a bottle with artificial milk to a piglet that's nursing a sow, the piglet will grow more. So piglets have the capacity to grow more than what the sow is actually giving them. So we need to increase milk yield of the sows to make sure that we optimize growth rate of the piglets. And nowadays, this is more a problem because now we're moving, we have hyperprolific litters we've had for the past 10 years or so. So with this greater litter size, what's happened is that each piglet is ingesting 22 to 42 grams of milk less with each additional piglet. So basically, we've created a new problem, but I don't like to present it that way. It's a new challenge. It made it that we need to get the sow to produce even more milk because we have greater litter sizes and the amount of milk increased, but not enough for this increase in litter size.
What does the producer need to look for in terms of selection of a first parity sow and why? And how important will that selection criteria be through the lifetime of the sow and her piglets and why?
That's an interesting question. So first I'm going to say, obviously, you need to look at the udder. So number of teats, if you have less than 14, it's not a good thing. So you should have 14 good, potentially productive teats. So no invagination of teats or teat buds that we talk about. And the other thing that's really interesting is that nowadays, and we've seen that in other presentations today, we are even looking at the performance of these animals before, like in the neonatal part of their life. So piglets that are heavier and grow more will most likely be better for in terms of reproductive performance and also longevity. So you want a piglet that has a good winning weight, and also once it gets older you look at the underline. And I mean, sure, things like leg problems and so on are things you obviously need to look at.
As a result, just how early does that selection process for first parity gilts actually need to begin?
From what I heard today, now it's getting to be earlier, because before we were mainly looking at them, you know, around puberty or so and looking at teats and that's it. But now it may have to be done even, you know, at that weaning age. You can already tell which piglets are going to be better in terms of future performance and which piglets have consumed maybe more colostrum. That's more important to give them some hormones that will help them for the future reproductive development that you see.
How many piglets typically are produced in a litter now, and how have those numbers evolved?
Well, right now, we've had a presentation again by Leanne Huber, and she mentioned it's close to 15, so 14.5 would be the average now. And there's an increase on 1.5 piglet in the litter size per year, so it would be, you know, about five piglets more in about 4 years. So it's been increasing. We've had 10 piglets per litter, you know, maybe, I don't know, 10 years back, and now we're easily up to 15.
Given these larger litter sizes, just how important does sow management become and why?
Well, obviously, as I mentioned earlier, you have to make sure that all the piglets can consume enough milk to grow at their optimal rate. So it makes it even more important for the sow to produce milk. So basically, the selection we've done to increase litter size would now be advantageous to be put in the milking performance of the sows to make sure that piglets get enough milk.
How does nutrition play a role in all of this, and what needs to be the focus in terms of nutrition both during gestation and during lactation, and how do those two compare?
Well, I'm going to start to talk about something I really enjoy, which is mammary development of pigs. So what I know is, as a lactation biologist, obviously the more mammary cell the sow has at the beginning of lactation, the more potential milk yield she has. And a lot of studies have been done to see how nutrition can affect mammary development. And there are three stages of mammary development that are important. So from 90 days of age to puberty, or the last third of gestation, or lactation. So the nutrition that you do in that prepubertal period, or the last third of gestation, is where you really want to try to affect the mammary development, because you already have some mammary development, so you want to stimulate it further before the sow will start to milk. One thing that we know, in prepuberty, you don't want to restrict feed intake as of 90 days of age. So between 90 days of age and puberty, you do have rapid mammary development. You don't want to restrict feed intake. That's been shown. It's also been shown that if you give the animal a phytoestrogen, which is a plant source of estrogen, it will stimulate mammary development. And that's basically all we know in terms of stimulating mammary development with nutrition in puberty. If you look at the gestation, it's more the other way around. If you give too much energy at the end of gestation, which is a lot of energy, that's negative. You know, it has a negative effect on mammary development, because you will get an animal that will be obese, and that's not a good thing. I've also done studies on body condition, more specifically, of gilts, and that's really interesting, because if you start with animals that have a similar back fat at mating, and you just feed them different amounts of feed throughout gestation to achieve three body conditions at the end of gestation, so 12 to 15, or in around 18 to 20 to 20, and then 22 and over millimeters, you see that it's the lean animals that have less of the milk synthesizing tissue. So it's telling us that you want to be careful of how you feed your animals in gestation, so that you don't have lean animals. But animals that go up to 25, 26 millimeters of back fat at the end of gestation, they have no problem in terms of mammary development.
What role does colostrum or first milk play? How important is that role? And what are the challenges when it comes to colostrum?
Well, colostrum is essential. We call it a life elixir for piglets. So if the piglet doesn't have colostrum, it will die. The piglet is born with around 1% body fat and not more. So the colostrum is providing a source of energy for the piglet, and it's very important for passive immunity. So immunoglobulins will go from the sow to the colostrum to the piglets, and that's very important. And then it's important as a source of a lot of other things, like, you know, growth factors, vitamins, minerals, somatic cells, and so on and so forth. But basically, a piglet at birth that weighs an average weight of 1.4 kilo needs to consume 250 grams of colostrum. If it does not consume that amount, it will not grow, and it will have a greater mortality rate. And it's a challenge, because it's been shown that not all sows produce enough colostrum to give to their piglets. And, you know, as litter size increases, obviously, it means that the sow has to produce more colostrum also. So it is a challenge that we need to work on to try to increase it.
How much colostrum is actually needed to satisfy the piglet individually and the whole litter in that case?
Well, 250 grams per piglets. So if you had the 13 piglets in a litter, it was 3.3 kilo that you needed. So most of the sows do not produce that much.
What can be done to increase the production of the production and quality of colostrum?
The production, it's difficult. There's not a lot of work done, and one of the reasons that's it's very difficult to measure. So not much can be done in terms of feeding to increase the amount of colostrum. We can alter the composition or the quality of the colostrum, but the amount is very difficult. One study that I've done, which in a way affects the amount, is in a study that prolongs the colostral phase. So if the sow gives colostrum for a longer period of time, then it means that as a whole, she will give more colostrum for the piglets. And that study is a study where we actually try to work with what we call the mammary tight junctions. So the space between the mammary cells is open when the sow is farrowing, and it makes it possible for big molecules such as immunoglobulins to go from the sow circulation to the colostrum. If we can keep these open longer, then the quality of the colostrum can remain for a longer period. And that's what I've done. And if in the about 16 hours after the birth of the last piglet, you give a massive dose of oxytocin. So in this case, it was 75 international units. If you give that once, it will, in the next 8 hours, keep those cells divided longer and then increase the amount of growth factors, immunoglobulin G, and so on, protein that will pass to the piglet. So it's one thing that could help and that would be easy for the producers to do.
How will optimum colostrum and milk intake of the piglet influence total productivity throughout the lifetime of the piglet, and what's the significance of that?
The amount of colostrum that the piglet ingests will affect its growth rate, mortality rate, disease resistance. So this will definitely have an impact on a long-term basis. Well, if you're dead, that's the end of it. And if you're more vulnerable to diseases, then obviously your growth rate will diminish. And now there's even, you know, studies that we've seen that maybe in terms of reproductive performance, it can also have a negative impact if they don't consume enough of that colostrum. And milk yield, I mean, obviously, if you have a greater weaning weight, you will also take less days to reach market weight. So in terms of number of days to market, it'll make it more economically feasible for the producer to get these pigs out to market.
And is there anything you would like to add?
I don't think so. This basically covers it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. It was my pleasure to be here.
Our guest has been Dr. Chantelle Farmer, a research scientist in sow lactation with Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada in Sherbrooke. At the 2019 London Swine Conference for Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.